Shir is Leila Nishmas Shalom, is Pastor Mordechai Levy. And actually today is the Yortzeit, right? Today is the Yortzeit. And Jacob is sponsoring. Okay, so the topic today was waiting between the milk and meat. And of course, the motivation to talk about that is the beginning of the Parsha. We have the Malachim visit Avraham, and the Pasuk talks about the fact that he gave them both milk and meat. So so the Mephoreshim talk about exactly how was that possible, and there are two suggestions to explain it. One is that the Malachim are not chayiv in the mitzvahs, and then, therefore there's no problem with them having milk and meat. But the other suggestion is, if you look at the order of the pasuk, it says that he gave them milk and then he gave them meat. So he was makwa to give it, the order should be first milchiks and then fleishiks, because the issues are more from fleishiks to milchiks than they are from milchiks to fleishiks. So let's talk about actually what most people don't know so much is the issues from going from milchiks to fleishiks, what is required and what's not required, and then we'll go back to the other direction. So from going to milchiks to fleishiks, the simple understanding seems to be that there's no requirements. So that's not 100% correct. That's clear in the Gemara that if a person would have a milchik gemil and then go to a fleishik gemil, that he would have to do certain things. Number one, he would have to do what's known as kinuach and hadacha. He has to clean out his mouth. There shouldn't be actual milk cheese particles in his mouth when he's going from milchiks to fleishiks. Now, if he just drank milk, he didn't eat cheese, so that the poskim say already, then he would not have to do kinuach and hadacha. It's enough to do, just do hadacha. Kinuach means to cleanse it out with some type of a food, and then hadacha means to wash it out with a liquid. So he should drink a liquid between the milk before he moves it to fleishiks. What about washing one's hands?
So if you had cheese, you would actually have to eat something in between, or washing with...
So if you have cheese, so we'll get to that. So there's going to be, we're going to talk about actually that there are four requirements. Number one, you have to change the tablecloth. You can't eat the same tablecloth from milchiks to then fleishiks. You have to wash your hands. Make sure that your hands are clean. There's no residue of something milchig on your hands going from milchig to fleishig. You have to clean out your mouth, which we said there is kinuach and hadacha. And I will discuss, you have to make some type of a separation between the milchig meal and the fleishig meal. So those are maybe the four areas that we're going to try and touch on. So the tablecloth is pretty straightforward. You change your tablecloth and you're very happy. Regards to kinuach and hadacha, so kinuach means that you clean out your mouth by eating a food, and the point of that is that the food, as it moves around the mouth, it breaks free all the little particles of cheese which are there in the mouth, so you can then wash them away with the drink that you have afterwards. So the order specifically should be kinuach first and then hadacha. The Gemara says that doing kinuach, it has to be something which doesn't stick to your palate, doesn't stick to the roof of your mouth, because that doesn't really move around so well. So some types of food that are sort of like pasty, those are not good things. Some types of some vegetables, the Gemara says, something which is like just a floured based thing which wasn't baked. Dates, the Gemara says you can't use dates because they stick to you, they get sticky, and they don't really clean out so well. So a person would do eat
even like crackers that kind of stick to your teeth and stuff together.
In general, I think crackers seem to be accepted. You know, bread is accepted. So you do kinuach, you eat that, you move it around your mouth, and you should swallow it, because this way it also cleans out towards the back of the mouth. And then you have some type of liquid afterwards. Any liquid is acceptable. There's a minute by some chassidim that their makbadavka should be something alcoholic, because why don't you have an excuse to have something alcoholic? Mm-hmm. No, because they hold that it cleans better, but in general, it's not really required. There's Richard Bager, who says that specifically it should be something which is as the chassidim would call mashke, something which is has a... But the Ritchrager does bring such a shita, and the chassidim are makbid on that. But in general, that's not required in halacha. So if a person would have something which is cheese, so a person would have to do kinuach hadacha. A person is just having drinking milk, he would just have to do hadacha. Regards to washing hands, so you have to wash your hands because we're concerned about the residue, any type of residue on the hands. So a few things: if a person knows for sure that he has nothing on his hands, he did not touch the food at all, he eats with knife and fork. You're talking to the guy who eats pizza with a knife and fork, so like, you know, I get it. I know for sure that my hands are clean. I don't like getting my hands dirty, so I wouldn't have to wash my hands. Person, if it's at daytime and you can expect your hands, it's also reliable. If it's at nighttime or it's a poorly lit area which you can't see, so then there's a requirement you have to wash your hands. Washing your hands does not mean with a kli, it just means rinsing them and rubbing them around to make sure that you don't have to use soap either. It's not required to remove any particles which are there. The halacha does say, even though that bedika is sufficient, or by if you have an option of washing and it's easily available, a person should do so. So that's din rechitza. What's more interesting is the question is, do you have to wait? Is there any time period that you have to wait? Now there is hard. We'll talk about hard cheeses separately, but a soft cheese or milk. There's a zoyer. I mean, from the Gemara alone, there's no requirement to wait at all. So a person can eat milchiks and immediately afterwards turn around and eat fleishes. There's a zoyer which says you should not eat milchiks and fleishes in the same shachata in one hour. So some understand 1 hour to mean 1 hour. The usage, and something means shachat is also used in the language of the Gemara, etc. It means at the same time. It shouldn't be one immediately after the other. So they suggest it's lavdafka an hour, but even a half an hour, there should be clearly a time lapse between eating the milchus and the fleishes. The next question which comes up is, do you need to say bracha achrona? Because that is clear going from fleishes to milchus. That the Mor says you can only eat it misuda l'suda. You cannot eat fleishes and milk together in the same meal. So we know that there's a time lapse, let's say, of 6 hours. Let's say you're going to this major banquet, you know this, and if you ever went to a chasda in England, right? The chasda can last for 6 hours very easily. So you ate fleishes at the beginning of the chasda, and you decide, you know what, you're not eating any more fleishes. 6 hours later, you still have not benched. You cannot eat milchiks even though 6 hours have elapsed. That we measure the 6 hours from fleishes to milchiks when the last time you ate fleishes, not when you ended the meal, but not when you benched. It ends when you stopped eating fleishes. So at 12:30 I ended eating fleishes. 6:30 I have 6 hours since I ate my fleishes, but if I have not benched in between, I cannot eat milchiks. It cannot be in the same meal. As long as it's one meal, I can't do that. So what about the other way around? I want to start with milchiks and then go to fleishes. Do I have to say bracha achrona in between? So interestingly enough, there's a very clear Ramah that you do not, it's not required. Where is this Ramah? This Ramah is in Hilchos in Arachayim in Siman Tav Tzadi Dalet, which is the Siman which talks about Shuas. Shuas doesn't get very much in Shulchan Aruch. You have Hilchos Pesach goes till Tav Peches, and you have Hilchos Siras Omer goes from Tav Peches until Tav Tzadi Gimel, and then Hilchos Yom Tov starts at Tav Tzadi Hey, and Shuas gets one Siman. You know, then at the end of the 7 weeks, we have the Yom Shuas. It tells you what Kriyas HaTorah you have, etc. And it mentions over the Ramah mentions the minhag which we have that people would eat milchiks on Shuas. The Ramah says why, and this is not the most well known reason. But the Ramah, who is the one who gives us over Minhag Yisrael, says the following reason: that since there was a mitzvah on when the Mikdash was standing to bring a korban. Together was known as the Shtei Alechem. There was a mitzvah to bring part of a process of a korban, 2 loaves of chametz. It's the only korban here which has any chametz in it. There was two lachamim, and they were brought together with the korban shlomim and shavuos. So for zecher to the two lachamim, we eat milchiks. So he says, what's the connection? Because the law is when you, if a person starts a meal with the milchiks or fleishiks, either way, and the bread's on the table, that bread cannot be used for a subsequently other gender meal. I can't use a bread on the table for milk for fleishiks and vice versa. So now we always make a bracha on lecha mishnah. We don't always eat both loaves. But over here, if we start the meal with fleishiks, with milchiks, the Ramah says, and the middle of the meal switch to fleishiks, you are forced to have 2 loaves of bread by your meal. The first loaf you use for the milchiks, and the second loaf you have to switch to the second loaf for the fleishiks. So the reason why he says the minhag was to start the meal with milchiks and then switch over to fleishiks to force you to have 2 breads. And this is a zecher for the two lachamim brought on Shavuos, which are brought on Shavuos, and that's why we eat milchiks on Shavuos. That's what the Ramah said.
What was done on Shavuos?
In the time of the Beis Hamikdash, one of the korbanos, together with the korban, there were 2 loaves of bread which were brought with it.
So the korban was meat.
The korban was meat. There was a mitzvah of shtei alechem. So zecher for the shtei alechem, we have milchiks and then fleishiks. That's the Ramah's explanation, not because of Har Sinai and not because of gavnunim and not because of any of those things. The Ramah didn't bring any of those reasons. This is the reason that he brings. So he says the minhag actually is not to have a milchik meal; is to have a milchik meal which you switch to fleishiks. It within one meal. Now the Mishnah Berurah says over there, according to the Ramah, you do not need to say. You do not need to, the point is, it's in one meal. It means he holds you don't have to bench between the milchiks and the fleishiks. he does bring, there is a shita that you're supposed to, the shloss says you're supposed to say bench in between, because you can't have both in the same meal. But there are more holes that that's acceptable. The Mishmur seems to say the Iker Pesach is you can have milchiks and fleishes in the same meal. Now, I don't know how many people keep this minig, but because I want so many clients to keep the minig, I undertook years ago that that's how we do it. And it's always an experience with my guests. First day shuas, they come in, and we start the meal with milchiks. We switch the tablecloth, like we said afterwards. We bedafka put the halacha is that halacha you have to switch bread. It's only if the bread's on the table. Mm-hmm. So if you're careful to keep the bread off the table, i.e., on the challah board or whatever it is, you don't have to switch. So we bedafka put the bread on the table, and we bedafka eat it with milchiks, and we bedafka have to wash our hands in the middle, and we bedafka have to do kinuach and adocha, and we bedafka have to do all those things because this is a good way to teach halacha to everybody. So everybody says, "Wow, I never heard this before in my life." So at least once a year, somebody gets a lesson in this. So that's the Ramah in by Shuas. So again, so the review of a person will be going from milchiks to fleishiks. So according to something, he has to say bracha karna. Mishabur seems to say that that's not the ikur din. You definitely have to change the tablecloth. The bread, but you have to change if the bread was on the table. You have to change the bread. You have to wash your hands, assuming that you didn't keep, for sure, unless you know for sure that your hands are clean. You have to wash your hands, and you do kinuach and adocha, eating something and then drinking something, and that's what we're changing from milchiks to fleishiks. Now, what about hard cheese? So this is all talking about soft cheese, or we said drinking milk. You don't have to do it. Kinuach and adocha, you just have to do hadocha is sufficient. Hard cheese, however, is more complicated. Hard cheese, there is a mention already in the Ramah, and then the Shach and the Taz to define what that means. The assumption is hard cheese means a cheese which just has been aged at least 6 months, or they used to use some type of a worm which would crawl in the cheese and help it age. It must have released some type of enzyme which would cause the cheese is aged, and therefore it has a stronger flavor. And because it's a stronger flavor, you cannot go from milk to fleishigs. You have to wait the time lapse from the equivalent to fleishigs to milkigs, which will assume is 6 hours. So what types of cheese are considered aged cheese? The Parmesan actually is an aged cheese. That's the problem. Cheddar comes both ways. What's interesting is Swiss cheese also comes both ways. So real bona fide Swiss cheese from Switzerland is an aged cheese. The holes in the Swiss cheese come through the aging process. As it ages, the holes get bigger. Because it doesn't cut so well, so America came up with a way to have Swiss cheese which was not aged. And therefore the holes are smaller and you can cut it easier, because like America likes to do everything like sort of artificial, So the Swiss cheese in America is not really Swiss cheese, So Swiss cheese in America does not require waiting. But if you get Swiss cheese from Switzerland, you would have to wait 6 hours in between. There is a sefer called Yad Yehuda, which says, this is all talking about you're eating the cheese, and the cheese is distinct and independent. But a case where it's an ingredient, it gets mixed in with other foods, even though it's a hard cheese, you do not need to wait. Now,
called mixed in.
Okay, that's what we're about to get to.
Or salad or something. Is that
something like you put Parmesan on your lasagna and you're eating it together.
So see, if it's clearly distinct and separate, let's say you make a pizza and you use Parmesan for the top of your pizza. Mm-hmm. So that's clearly distinct and separate. It's a layer of cheese on top. Mm-hmm. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about it gets mixed in like an ingredient. Mm-hmm. Okay. So if a person would have hard cheese, then he has to do the other requirements as well, but he has to I'm going to take that back. The bracha achrona, he's going to require the bracha achrona issue because it's misuda l'suda. Kinuach and adocha, we do not require kinuach and adocha from in the 6 hour wait, because we assume within the 6 hours everything is clean. However, if a person is aware of the fact that you still have some particles, you notice that there actually are particles of cheese in your teeth, or vice versa, there are particles of meat in your teeth, you must remove those particles. That does not require you to make it wait another 6 hours. So a person ate a fleishig meal, waited 6 hours, is about to sit down to eat his pizza, and he realizes he has a little piece of meat in his teeth. He has to remove it, but then he can go eat. He can rinse out his mouth, and eat the milchiks. And vice versa, if he would have a piece of cheese there, he would do the same thing in regards to fleishiks. Before getting to fleishiks, the milchiks, which I'm not sure we're going to get to, the question which always comes up, I always get this once in a while, define fleishiks. So I'm going from fleishiks to milchiks, what's the definition of fleishiks? So the question always being, I cooked it together with meat, or I cooked it in a fleshing pot. It wasn't a clean pot. You know, I made a parva thing, but you know, I didn't really wash out the pot beforehand. So fleshings means fleshings. Number one, if it's actual meat. Number two, if it's something which is cooked with meat. So I make a stew of meat and potatoes, and I said, you know what, I'm not in the mood to eat the meat right now, I'll just eat when I eat the potatoes. But the potatoes were cooked with meat, that also generates a loch of waiting 6 hours. If I cooked it in a fleshing pot, even if the pot was not clean and there was residue of meat in the pot, I do not need to wait 6 hours. So
So would that be the same as frying? So for example, if a restaurant is frying chicken nuggets in the same fryer, they'll do french fries separately in the same oil.
In the same
is that
oil.
Considered a residue, or is that considered the oil now is mamish fleishik, and therefore you've cooked the fries in a fleishik oil?
It's a good question. My assumption over there that's more than just residue, that mm-hmm. actually absorbs the flavor, and that's mm-hmm. a problem. Mm-hmm. But I'm not sure. I have to think about that. Mm-hmm. Let's say we know that there's something called a dubra chora, if it's sharp, like an onion or something like that. Let's say, and sharpness absorbs flavor in a much stronger way. So let's say I take a fleshik kapat and I cook something parav, which is sharp, a dubra chora. And now I want to eat milk afterwards. Also, I do not need to wait 6 hours. It's only if it's something which is actually actual fleshik.
Can you have it the same meal?
You could have it in the same meal, just not at the same time.
I mean, you can't have one side of your dish, something that was cooked in the flesh and pocket, and one side the milk and cold pot, even if they're...
No, not milk and pot, milk. I'm talking about eating something cooked in a fleishik pot, something, and then eating that together with milk. That you can't do. There's something which is cooked in a fleishik pot, but it's power of something cooked with milk pot, and it's power of that's not a problem. But the problem is if you have something which was power of but cooked in a fleishik pot, so I could eat that and then eat milk immediately afterwards. I cannot eat it together with milk. Okay, going from fleishik to milchik, so that's pretty standard. Everybody's familiar with that. The idea that you have to wait 6 hours. There actually did in the Gemara. The ikur in the Gemara could be the time to wait is actually 1 hour. There's a minute of 3 hours, which is everybody grapples with to explain where that comes from. 3 hours it seems to be difficult to understand, but there is such a minute. But the Taz comes out that the six hours really is preferred, and therefore. A Ben Torah should keep 6 hours. And a person who wants to keep be careful in a halacha should keep 6 hours.
Where's the idea of the as long as you're beyond 5 hours and into the sixth, it counts?
It's not mentioned in the Shulchan Aruch. The question is, the Gemara does not mention 6 hours at all. The Gemara says from Suda to Suda. They would eat fleishes in one meal, and the next meal they would eat milkings. And the cheshbon being that the shortest day, that gap, they only ate 2 meals a day. they ate a morning meal and an evening meal. The shortest day, that gap would be 6 hours. That's where the 6 hours is calculated from. But once you're saying 6 hours, it's not clear in the Gemara. So someone suggests once you have a partial hour that counts like a full hour. That's where it comes from. It's not standard halacha. Rabbi Cutler actually held like that, and in Lakeview Yeshiva, that's what they do. They serve fleishes for lunch and they serve milchus for supper. Even if it's not 6 hours, as long as it's in the sixth hour. And I always get calls from Talmidim of mine and say, Rabbi, what do I do? Mm-hmm. Okay, what is called eating fleishes? So a person. Simple case, person takes something which is actual fleishigs and he puts his mouth, he chews it and he swallows it. No shall you have to wait 6 hours. Let's say he chews it, the person chews up food for their child, and they do not swallow it. So they swallow without chewing. So the halacha is either of those scenarios, if they swallow without chewing or they chew without swallowing, a person has to wait 6 hours. However, if a person is just tasting the fleishig broth to see it's okay. There's no chewing and no swallowing. You do not need to wait 6 hours in that situation. The person would be tasting something fleishig without chewing or
you
swallowing.
You need to wash your mouth and do everything you properly.
You just have to do kinuch and adocha, and then you could have milchus afterwards. Okay. 1 second. Let's see if there's anything else I want to cover. Going from milk to chicken. We said going to milchus to meat, you have to rechitz, you have to kinuch and adacha. It's actually, but that's only if you're going to meat. You're going to chicken, mikra, you're not requiring rechitz. You just have to make sure you wipe your hands clean, and you do not need kinuch and adacha unless you actually see if you see cheeses there, you'd have to remove it. Okay, let's.